pizza places that we like and we want to talk about. So this will be pizza part one of many.
Yes. Just like the food that it represents, it's going to be a very, very, very varied show.
We're going to talk about at least four or five places that we've become rather fond of over the last five, seven, nine-ish years. Mm. And even some ones from our childhoods that we still really enjoy some hometown pizzas. So
pizza's one of those things that we can do like a one-line history. There's much, much more to it, but we'll just give you a basic thing. It's been around in the Mediterranean since a little bit before 1000 AD in the form of a tester for ovens, where they'd put this flat dough into the oven to see if it was ready for baking bread. And then consequently that was distributed to the poor or sold on street corners. Pizza as we know it in its modern form was brought back from Italy after World War II by American GIs. It had been in America before, but the American people really had a taste for it after.
The GIs brought a taste for it back, just like how some of them brought a taste for Hawaiian foods, I think.
Yeah.
And Japanese
and
foods.
Japanese.
Yeah, there's actually, you could do a whole cultural history of foods that have migrated to and became popular because of members of the armed forces who have been abroad and then came back with a taste for these kinds of things.
I smell a show brewing for that.
That's going to be a lot of work. But yeah, that's something, there's a whole lot out there that really we can attribute to American GIs. So, pizza is delicious.
Pizza, and since this is a family-friendly show, I'll say it like this. It's like love. When it's good, it's amazing. When it's bad, it's still pretty good.
Yeah, you're still not going to turn it down. Now, and we didn't go out to eat for pizza tonight, believe it or not. We actually stayed in and made pizza. I think we mentioned this on another show, but we used our friend Daisy's recipe that she ripped off of Rachel Ray.
Shock, shock.
We thought it was her recipe all along. When we found out it was a Rachel Ray recipe, we felt betrayed.
I was beside myself.
Yes.
With confusion and shock.
It's a hot wing pizza, and it's really good. So we stayed in and had that tonight, and we're like, you know, we should do the pizza episode tonight. We're in a pizza kind of mind.
Right. So what was your first memory of pizza as a child?
My first memory of pizza as a child was actually Pizza Hut, and it was sitting out back on the patio in the summer, and I didn't like pizza as a very, very small child. What I used to do is I used to pull the bread out from between the very bottom of the crust and the toppings, so you would end up with these, like, floppy, hollow pizza slices all over the place. And I would sit there with my tiny little two-year-old fingers, and pick the bread out from the middle.
Excavate, if you will.
I would excavate the bread out of the pizza, because that's all I wanted to eat. Eventually, very soon after that, I saw the light and realized, oh, it's delicious. So, Pizza Hut's a comfort food to me. It's also because of the Book It program.
Right. Which I'm not sure is necessarily around in Canada, so you might as well go into it.
Well, they don't do it anymore in the States, last I heard. But Book It was a program where they did it in K through 6 in the States for elementary schools. It was a reading program where you would have a designated number of books to read per month. And if you read those books, you got a little certificate from your teacher that you could take to Pizza Hut and get a free personal pan pizza. If your class, your entire class, hit the goal for the month, or I'm sorry, for the year, then you got a pizza party free from Pizza Hut. So,
This was probably encouraging people to eat fast foods. So that's why they killed it.
Probably. I got a heck of a lot of free pizzas as a kid. And they used to give you this little button, like a pin.
Yeah.
And every time you got your pizza certificate, you got a little star to put on it, too. And it had, like, the number of months for the school year there.
This must have looked like an astronomical map.
Oh, I always did my full quota for the month and then some. Especially as I got older, so I knew other kids in the class weren't going to do it, and I really wanted the pizza party, so I read extra so it would go towards the class
everybody
goal.
Was happy that they had Tracy in their class.
Yeah, they're going with Tracy, we're going to get a pizza party, yeah.
Even as a child, she was a speed reader.
But those are my first memories of it, but really, I don't want to talk about fast food pizza right now, I want to talk about good pizza. The first memories I have of good pizza is actually Police Station Pizza in Ambridge.
Yay!
I don't even know, I think the name is the Original Italian Pizzeria. And it is downtown in Ambridge. It is next to what used to be the old police station down on Merchant Street. The police station moved back when I was a teenager. They built a shiny new complex for it not too far from the high school. But the nice... The old place, which it's actually kind of a neat looking building when you go by the old police station. It looks very stately. It looks almost goth. And then the little pizza shop was next to it. And this place is, when you walk in, it's controlled chaos. You can order it by the slice or by the tray. And it comes in square slices. And the pizza is, it's a moderately thick pizza. All the ingredients taste pretty fresh. And what they do is they make the pizza with just cheese. And they bake it that way. When you come in and order, there's one guy at the counter who is barking out orders as you order. So you'll tell him, I want four slices pepperoni. He'll bark out, I need four pepperoni. And then you wait a couple minutes, because they're always busy. And then magically somebody appears with a box with four slices of pepperoni pizza ready to go. And it comes in these cute little cake boxes. And the cake boxes either hold 4 slices or 6 slices. So, like, when we would order for the whole family, we'd walk out for, like, a stack of 3 boxes or something. But when you get it, what they do is, for the pepperoni, they don't bake it with the pepperoni on it. You get, it's warm, it's like room temperature pepperoni, it's not cold, but they just whip the pepperoni slices on it, and you get it that way. If you want extra cheese, they'll ask you if you want it melted or unmelted. I always get it unmelted, because the natural heat of the pizza, the residual heat would just melt it for you, but you still, like, could whip the box open really fast in the car and cram some, like, gooey cheese in your mouth right before it melts. It was really good. And they had really good pepperoni. It's one of those pepperonis that I've not run into it anyplace else. I don't know who their supplier is, but it's good pepperoni. It's not like the big slices. It's slightly smaller, and it's sliced pretty thick. And they have all the normal toppings. Now, I haven't been there in a while to order pizza. Last time I was there, it was about 65 cents a slice, plus I think 15 cents a topping.
Because I remember seeing the prices per slice, and I'm like, oh my god, that's insanely cheap.
Yeah, and they're decent sized squares. Well,
they're squares, yeah, you know. They're not like one of the big, floppy, huge New York style slices, but no. If you get, you know, 2 or 3 slice, you're good to go. Yeah.
It's not quite a Sicilian. It's not quite that thick.
It's somewhere in between a regular and a Sicilian.
Yeah, and it's this light, fluffy, crispy dough. It comes out, and the bottom's really crispy.
Yeah,
but the top's really
fluffy.
I don't know, but it's delicious, and
it's definitely a regionalism.
It's not even a regionalism. It's just a police station pizza thing. I've really never had it from any place else like that. The closest was that one place in Morgantown that isn't there anymore, DeCarlo's.
Right.
But theirs was a little bit thinner than police stations. But I'm a pretty hearty eater. If I'm not famished, I'll only eat 4 slices. If I'm absolutely famished, I've been working outside and doing yard work all day or something, then I'll eat about 5 or 6. So, I mean, you get a lot of food. These are not small chunks of pizza. So that's my earliest memory. We used to go there after Ambridge football games sometimes, which was insanely busy. And when you go when they're busy, it's just so neat to watch, because they're just barking out these orders, and magically nobody ever forgets an order. I've never seen them forget an order for somebody. Nobody's ever had to go to the counter and get all angry and say, hey, I've been waiting here for 30 minutes and everybody else has gotten their pizza ahead of me or something. You never see it. These guys they don't write anything down. The only time I think I've ever seen them write something down is if it's a call-in order.
Yeah.
And you can order the pizza unbaked. Well, they'll just bake the crust for you and bag up the toppings, and you could take it home and make it yourself, too. Which I think is really neat.
That is interesting.
Yeah. So that's my earliest. What's yours?
Probably it's going to be a fast food pizza, because in my area of Ontario, there isn't a whole lot of mom and pop places left. It's mostly chains. But pizza was one of those fast food things that we could get when we were kids, because we didn't have a whole lot. But once a month, when my mom got her check, she would order pizza, and it was delicious and tasty. Usually it was from Pizza Pizza. But I remember also when I was a little kid in kindergarten, we did a tour of one of the local chain pizzerias called Square Boys. And they have these square pizzas, kind of like police station, but thinner.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this pixelated, looks like an 8-bit kind of guy holding a pizza as their logo. So we got to go and make our own pizzas, and that was my earliest memory of pizza.
Actually, an early Sheila and Tracy memory of pizza's police station pizza. The first time she met my parents, we had gone back. It was for around Labor Day-ish weekend, a little after Labor Day, and Michelle and Jeff and my niece Katie had come in around Katie's birthday, and my parents had ordered like 2 trays of police station pizza, and Sheila had just burned her throat that week. She was scarfing down a hot deep dough calzone, and she had actually done some serious damage to her throat, and it was very painful to eat.
I hadn't eaten for 2 or 3 days at this point.
So we go and see my folks, and Sheila's hardly touching her pizza, just barely nibbling it, and my mom is so worried. Oh, what's wrong? Doesn't she like it? Does Sheila like to eat? I'm like, oh, Sheila likes to eat.
Looking at the size of me, you know that I like to eat, so.
It was just the sheer panic on my mom's face. Is she okay? No, she's not. She'll be okay in a week or two.
Yeah, skin had to regrow on my esophagus.
And we've learned a valuable lesson from that. What do you do if the food's too hot to swallow?
Don't swallow it.
There we go.
Instead of cram it down in and pour some cold liquid over top of it.
Yeah,
that
doesn't work
cut
that
it.
Way. So there's also a couple other good places in the Pittsburgh area for somewhat mom and shop pop pizza. And I didn't realize I lived in such an area that had so many like little local Italian places. I never considered myself having grown up in an Italian area. But in retrospect, especially after being up here, I realized that I was in a very Italian area of the state. Another place that fond older childhood memories I have. Of.
Monticello's.
That was such a Yoda sentence, too. Memories I have. So is a place called Monticello's, and it's a small regional chain in the Pittsburgh area, and it's a little family-style Italian restaurant. And we used to go grocery shopping at, it started out as a warehouse club called Pace, and then it became a Sam's Club eventually out on McKnight Road. And that was like a big deal when we'd go. And this is more like a teenager kind of thing. I was like around 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 kind of age. And about once a month, maybe once every 3 pays or something, my parents would hit the warehouse club, and mom would go out and buy, like, cases of more food than we needed to put in the pantry. I don't know why she thought we needed a case of corn.
Did you guys eat corn forever?
Yes. I dread it every time. Tracy, go to the basement and get a can of corn off the shelf. Oh, God, not again. I mean, the woman, it was like a bomb shelter down there. She had so much food at one point. It was scary.
Do you think she'd like playing Fallout 3?
She might. I don't know.
Hmm.
But it was just, it was unreal, the stores she would stock down there. She's gotten a lot better about it, because, you know, the kids have moved out. But
yeah.
Anyway, back to the point. So one of the places that, it was payday, it was a big deal. We would usually go out to eat, because it was about 20 minutes to half an hour to get there. Mom and Dad would be out of school around no later than 3:30. By the time we got there and did the shopping, it was definitely dinner time, and Mom was not cooking after doing the shopping and putting groceries away. So payday was usually eat out day. And one of our favorite places to go was Monticello's, because they had killer calzones. And that's one of the reasons I love to go there. But also, they have an amazing deep dish pizza, and they have a really good Sicilian pizza. Now, after so many years of going out on McKnight Road, they started branching out and opening up more stores. There's one in Cranberry now. There used to be one in Economy. It was a much smaller one. It wasn't quite the sit-down places like there are in Cranberry and McKnight. And I know there was one in Swickley? Or was that a Pizza Roma? It might have been a Pizza Roma. But the one that I remember going to the most was on McKnight and then eventually in Cranberry, because it was closer to home. And all these other places, the shop opened up in the Cranberry area, which was only about 15 minutes away. But they have great Sicilian thick pizza. I mean, the stuff's like almost an inch and a half tall.
All fluffy and
tasty.
Yeah,
it's all fluffy and tasty. You eat two slices and you're just stuffed. Good stuff. And their deep dish is great. Now, my parents are Ukrainian Orthodox. I grew up in a very Ukrainian Orthodox family. One of the things you do is you don't eat meat on Fridays. So, since we usually got paid on Fridays we went to places where you could get meatless dishes, and that was one of the things we would get. I usually ate my calzones without meat in them anyway, because I was a strange child. But Mom and Dad would get a deep dish, because they could get it with all the veggies in it and the tomatoes, and it was a good hearty meal. Oh,
yeah.
It's delicious. As I got older and I acquired more of a taste for things like onions and peppers and tomatoes and things, I actually began to enjoy it, too.
Hmm.
So if you're in the Pittsburgh area and you see a place called Monticello's, named just like Jefferson's home, definitely worth checking out. The prices are really good. The portions are very large. They have more than just pizza on the menu. They have great subs.
Their Italian stuff is really, really good. I've had their lasagna before. It is delicious.
Good stromboli, good calzone. Now, I don't know the official differences. Maybe if somebody would like to write in and correct me on this, you can. But where I grew up, a calzone was pretty much a pizza folded in half and baked. It would have cheese as the base ingredient, and then you'd add your pizza toppings in it. Depending on where you went, it may or may not have Italian sauce in it. A stromboli was sub fixings put inside of a pizza shell, folded in half, and baked. So what you would have in there would be lettuce and Italian dressings and different Italian meats and veggies. And my mom really liked those because they didn't put ricotta in those. Mom's a ricotta hater, so she didn't like to eat calzones very often. But she would get strombolis. I don't know if that's the official difference.
I'm not sure either, but I know that when I worked at that calzone place in Morgantown, people would always be phoning up and asking for lettuce and Italian dressing and all this other stuff. And we're like, no, we don't have it. We just... It's a pizza folded in half. It's a giant pizza pocket.
Yeah.
It's not a sub contained within a pizza shell. I'm sorry. That is all we have.
And it sounds so gross. You're like, ooh, that's disgusting. You bake the lettuce, but it's actually really good.
The lettuce doesn't get hot.
It gets warmed through, but the way it all mixes with the Italian dressing and the Italian meats and the crunchy outer crust.
It's just like a toasted sandwich.
Yeah, it's like
or a panini.
It's a lot like a panini, actually.
Because a panini is always warmed through as well.
Yeah, and you can get the lettuce on there and everything. So, good food. They have good pasta. Good beer specials, too.
Yeah, they usually always have different...
Happy hour specials.
Yeah, and pitchers of Yingling.
Yingling. Yes, delicious Pennsylvania beer. So, let's move on to the Morgantown area.
Okay, so for Morgantown, we've got... I'll start right at the top of the hill of where we used to live in South Park. It used to be called Daily Needs. And it was a historic house that was bought by somebody and converted into a bakery. And then they ended up opening another location.
Yeah, they opened another location.
I think they overstretched themselves a little bit too much. So they ended up going out of business. But the building got bought. And then I think it got bought by one of the bakers, didn't it?
Yeah.
And then they renamed it New Day Bakery and reopened it probably...
within the year.
Yeah, I was going to say, within 6 months to a year of it actually closing the first time, it was reopened under the new management. And they did everything just as good, if not better.
I think they even had more bread varieties when they reopened.
They did.
They did away with, I think, some of the pizza varieties, but they added to the bread menu.
Yeah. Well, they said, okay, here's your basic pizzas. There's these kinds, or you can order whatever you want.
Yeah.
Whereas instead of having 10,000 different pizzas,
yeah.
Yeah.
They had too many specialty pizzas on the menu, but the place had amazing bread. We used to go up the hill. It was expensive. You're talking almost $5 a loaf when you go there, because it's artisan bread, but it's worth it.
Yeah, it's baked in a wood fire oven, so it's the texture
Brick oven, not wood fired.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But it was a brick oven, so it's going to have a texture like you're not going to be used to, you're not going to be able to get from a regular oven.
Yeah, and it's baked with love, and it's all fresh every day. Once you hit about 5-6 o'clock in the day, they would start to mark things down to clear it out for the next day. The Mountain People's Co-op, they would sell the New Day Bakery bread down at the Mountain People's Co-op, so if you didn't, for some reason, didn't make it in South Park, you could usually pick a loaf up there.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right, it had that texture that is almost...
It was very crispy on the outside.
And really
and
fluffy.
And very soft and fluffy.
Porous.
It was very bubbly bread.
Yeah.
Like, it had a very big network of bubbles in the inside, which made it a very, very light interior.
You would almost call it tunneling if it had been a muffin.
Yeah.
But with the bread, it was okay. And it was great for just getting a loaf of bread, hacking it open, and spreading, like, your favorite jam or honey on it, and eating it for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever leftovers you had were always perfect the next day for French toast.
We used
to get the cranberry walnut all the time
cranberry
and do French
awesome
toast with it.
French toast.
Yeah. And they had great scones there, too.
Oh, yes. They had all kinds of baked treats.
Yes, but the pizza, they didn't start doing pizzas until after about...
It was after 4.
After 4 o'clock. They didn't do them on Mondays. I don't believe they still don't do them on Mondays. But they were a little more expensive than your run-of-the-mill pizza in Morgantown. You're looking at about $15
like,
a pie.
It was, yeah, the mediums were about $14, and the larges were about $16.
It didn't take a lot to push it up to like a $20 pizza.
If you started ordering extra stuff on top, yeah.
And the ingredients they put on it, though, were just...
Really, really
super
good.
Super fresh, super gourmet. The mozzarella was, like, fresh mozzarella. And
yeah, like, you, like, rip off pieces of it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Good chicken. They did a lot of spinach and different things on it.
Yeah. It's very, very vegetarian friendly.
Yes. Lots of good vegetarian options. They're kind of dirty hippies.
Yeah.
But they're good dirty hippies.
Dirty hippies that have a trade.
Yes.
They can bake.
Yes.
What other places were in Morgantown?
Well, I don't remember the name of the place by Kegler's. It's one of those places that has one of those generic pizza names, like the Italian Pizzeria or something.
Pizzeria Italia?
Yeah. That place had really good...
Mob pizza?
Mob pizza. It's like thin New York-style pizza. It's really good thin New York-style pizza. Now, this is all this is all hearsay, but apparently the guy who started that place ended up selling it, and then a couple years later, he opened up another pizzeria, which is Al's Pizza, which is right across...
Pizza Al's.
Right across the street from Towers on University Avenue.
By where the 7-Eleven is.
Yes. It was right next to a Little Caesars, which was kind of funny. And it was awesome. I think they had probably the best regular pizza in Morgantown.
Right. Well, the story goes that after the guy opened Pizzeria Italia and sold it, he promised he wouldn't open another pizzeria for a set number of years. And then that time elapsed, and he opened...
The Statute of Limitations.
Yeah, exactly. Then he opened Pizza Al's, and my God, so much pizza, so little money, so delicious.
Oh, it was so cheap. You could get a large pie from there for like $8. It was like a buck a topping or something. I used to be able to walk in there for 10 and walk out with change and come home with a huge one-topping pizza.
That was good for, you know, dinner and breakfast the next day.
Yeah, that was a two-meal pizza for us, and we like food. On the Aaron scale of portions, that place was a 5.
Definitely.
He would have walked out stuff.
Eat till you die.
Yes.
We've got pizza from there a couple times when the guys came down to visit.
Yes, because Spencer bemoans the fact that apparently there aren't any good pizzerias in Erie. I think he's not looking hard enough.
Possibly.
He might have to go on an adventure to find one for him sometime in town, but it's good stuff. And we can also talk, what was the name of the one pizza at Jersey Subs? The one that you always talked about that had all the meat on it.
That was Jersey Subs.
Yeah, what was the name of the pizza?
Oh, the Boar's Head Pizza.
That's what it was.
Okay, the Boar's Head Pizza. It was, like, a large pizza for, what, $12 or something?
It was more than that.
Was it
15? Like 15, yeah.
Okay. And it had all these lunch, like, meat toppings. It had ham.
Boar's Head meats.
Yeah, exactly. It had the pepperoni, but the pepperoni was, like, sandwich pepperoni. It was thin, and it was as big as a piece of bread. It had sausage.
It had something else on it. It had, like,
bacon,
4 or 5 meats
on it. It had ham, the pepperoni, just a bunch of meat. It was, like, the meat pizza.
It was meat.
Colon, fear me.
Yes, it was meat-alicious. I didn't really like Jersey's Pizza that much, except the Boar's Head Pizza totally made it.
Yeah.
That place
when
is
we ordered that, we were like, we feel like having a Boar's Head Pizza, let's call Jersey's.
Yeah. You had to be in a carnivore kind of state of mind to eat that pizza. It was very greasy because there's lots of meat on it. But sometimes, you know, that's what you want. You want the greasy, you know, if I put it on a paper plate, I'm going to be able to see through the paper plate by the time I'm done kind of pizza.
Like, what was that thing from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when he was talking about Philly cheesesteak subs? You can only tell if a Philly cheesesteak is only good if you can see through the bag by the time you get it home.
Nice.
The paper bag.
Oh, that's horrible. But true. Remember the episode of Food Detectives?
Yes.
Oh, this is a really cool show. If you haven't seen it on Food TV, you might want to try to check it out. It's called Food Detectives.
And the guy's name is Ted Allen, not to be confused with Tim Allen.
And he totally reminds me of Bill Nye.
Yeah, it's like if Bill Nye and Alton Brown cloned their sperm into a child.
It would be Ted Allen.
It would be Ted Allen.
And he's a judge on American Iron Chef all the time, too. So he's the kind of the geeky looking one. But he does the show Food Detectives, and he gets into the science behind food. They answer a lot of questions like, is double dipping really that bad? Yes, it is, by the way. Do you get germs on a birthday cake if you blow the candles out? Oh, yeah.
Yes. A lot.
And they do this scientifically. They took birthday candles and set them up in a petri dish with that nutrient gel stuff that you use to grow cultures in. They had different people blow candles out, and they tested who had the most germs and everything.
Yeah, was it children versus adults?
Yeah.
Or is it you get more germs because you're blowing up more candles if you're an adult versus a kid that's kind of messy and spraying as they're blowing the three candles out?
Yes. If you watch it, you may not want to eat birthday cake anymore. So, we just ate birthday cake the other day. Anyway, I digress. So, they did an episode that asked, does it really do any good to blot your pizza before you eat it? Now, I have, on occasion, been known to blot my pizza, mostly in college when we had the one place you could eat at called Faces.
What did you really call it?
Feces. The food wasn't that bad. It was part of the meal plan, and it was like a little food court-style kind of place where you could get pizza and subs and some other stuff. It was in the basement of the one dorm in Edinburgh, and the pizza was super greasy. I don't know if it was the cheese they bought or what.
Low-quality mozzarella.
Yeah, if you got the pizza right out of the oven, got one fresh, it was great. If it sat there for even 5 minutes, the cheese would set into the solid, greasy mass, and you just have the slick on top. So I was known to, you know, go through a couple napkins and remove the oil slick before I ate it. But they asked, would it do any good to blot the pizza? And the answer was actually yes. You ended up saving over the course of a year, what, how many thousand calories?
A lot.
Yeah, it adds up.
It may not be
a
lot per each slice, but nobody usually eats just one slice of pizza.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it's like 20 calories per slice or something.
Yeah, it was like 15 or 20 calories, but in the long run.
But then if you look at it, okay, if you eat three pieces of pizza and people eat a lot of pizza per year, it does add up very quickly.
Yes. It ended up being when they did it just on the averages, and then you took the number of calories and divided it by how many calories make up a pound, it ended up being like 2 pounds a year that
of
would save
oil.
You of gaining.
Yeah.
Not of oil, but it would save you gaining 2 pounds a year if you did this. So it was kind of neat to see that, you know, people aren't just being paranoid, you know, blot your pizza sometimes and it helps. You might want to blot the Boar's Head's pizza before you eat it.
Right. That's the moral of the story.
The moral of the story is if you get the Boar's Head, you need to blot it. Now, if you get the New Day Bakery pizza, you won't need to blot it.
No. And
so.
That brings me to another thing. The temperature that which pizza is served. There are some pizzas that have to be either rocket hot or ice cold.
Yes.
And Little Caesars is like that. The Canadian chain 2-for-1 pizza is like that. If it's just warm, it's not very good.
Except our 2-for-1 up here, I've noticed. I don't know if they do things differently, but the 2-for-1 around the corner here, their pizza's pretty good even at room temperature. But
usually
the pizza
it's like,
we've had at the one in Oshawa wasn't very good, even rocket hot, let alone at room temperature. So I don't know if they use slightly fresher ingredients here, or if it's just they're doing something different.
Maybe we get it so fast, because we live right here. It's not really waiting for us whenever we order it.
Yeah, that's true, but I've brought it upstairs, and it's sat there for a little bit, or I've pulled it out of the fridge the next day, and it's still good. The last pizza place in the Morgantown area that I think we should hit is actually, their pizza's okay, but there's something else there that's pizza-like that's really good. It's Casa's.
Casa d'Amici.
Casa
House d'Amici. Of Friends on High Street.
It's a Morgantown institution. If you went to school with WVU, you definitely know about it. It's one of those places you can go late night and get a couple slices. Until the other little pizza place opened up the street, or down the street from it, up the street from DPDO, that was the only place you could really go downtown to get slices.
Yeah.
Nobody
it was the only
did.
Place that was open late enough that you could actually get something.
Well, that's the only place that sold slices, period, downtown.
Yeah, it was either buy the whole pizza or buy nothing.
Mm-hmm. And they do slices, they do whole pies, they do sandwiches, they do pasta, they do a little bit of everything. It kind of reminds me of Monticello's a little bit. Mm. Slightly more limited menu, but very similar kind of food. Reminds me a lot of Napoli's pizza in Baden.
Yeah.
It's very similar to that.
Their buffalo chicken sandwich is really, really good.
Yes, the buffalo chicken sandwich rocks.
And their garlic knots are delicious. It's like, picture garlic bread, but in a little round dough ball form.
So that's what I wanted to talk about. The pizza's pretty good. I mean, it's, if I had to choose between that and Pizza L's, I'm going to go with Pizza L's 10 times out of 10, unless I want garlic knots, which you could always stop on the way and get the garlic knots. But
that's true.
All it is a stupid little piece of dough they tie into a knot and they brush with, like, butter and fresh garlic. It, like, crushed up little bits of fresh garlic, and they whip it in the oven and bake it. But it's so good, and you get
it's
it with
delicious.
Their sauce on the side. And I could just make a meal out of those little dough balls. They're so tasty.
One of our favorite things to do for Halloween is to go down to Cass's.
Well, was to go down.
Yes. Was to go down to Cass's and sit in the window.
In costume watch.
In costume watch. Because there are some crazy costumes that people would come up with.
Yes, the college students are very creative. And Cass's has this slightly elevated counter along the front window with bar stools. So you can get your garlic knots. They sold soda by the pitcher, which I haven't seen since I was a kid. So we'd get a pitcher of Diet Coke and get an order of garlic knots, or maybe we'd go split a sandwich and get some knots. And we'd sit in the window, sit down around 9, 10 o'clock when the kids start to go out to the bars, and just watch the parade of now sober, soon to be drunk college kids going down the street.
Yeah.
And you could even tell year by year what costumes were in. One year, the Girl Scout costume was really in.
Oh, I remember we saw, like, a bunch of people.
We saw, like, 2 dozen Girl Scouts. And I used the word Girl Scout in quotes, making air quotes right now. I think the nurses were big that last year.
Yeah.
We were there.
Remember the princess and the Mario?
Yes.
Coolest girlfriend ever.
Yes, this guy needs to propose to this chick. We were actually walking down to Casa's, and we saw a dude dressed as Mario, and he talked his girlfriend into dressing as Princess Peach. She did a good job. They both had really, they weren't just store-bought costumes. They actually looked like they'd made some stuff by hand.
Mm-hmm.
They looked good together. They fit the thing. But to talk your girlfriend into being Princess Peach, put a ring on that finger.
Yep. And then there was the other chick that was dressed as...
Fifth Element. She lived across the courtyard from us.
Yes.
And if you've not seen the movie Fifth Element, this won't have a lot of meaning for you. But if you've seen it, this pretty much the outfit she wears most of the movie that she gets put on when she's in the regeneration unit. The girl was in that. She got the redheaded wig, and she was a dead ringer.
And it was unseasonably cold that year, so
yes.
She was freezing her butt off.
Yes. Wasn't there a nurse, too, from
Silent Hill? Silent Hill nurse. She did a great job. I was like, woo, I want to shoot her in the head.
Yeah, the Silent Hill nurse was very creepy. That was another one that went shuffling down the street, and we both went, as we're sitting in the window with the glass safely between us and them, so.
Well, then I think about how breakable that glass really is, should something really happen.
Yes. And since we're still on the topic of Halloween in Morgantown, though, it has nothing to do with pizza. If you happen to be in the Morgantown area for Halloween, they do a zombie walk now downtown from the top of High Street down to the Warner Theater.
Yes.
And everybody gets together in zombie outfits, and they all shuffle down the street zombie style. And at the end of the zombie shuffle, they usually do some kind of showing down at the Warner Theater, some classic horror movie. It's been Night of the Living Dead the last few years.
They did Dawn of the
last
two years. Didn't they?
I thought it was the remake of Night of the Living Dead both years they've done it. And you donate food, and you can get in for free. So it kind of is like a food drive slash a fun thing to do for Halloween. So very cool event if you're in town for it.
I'll post a link for the video that we took of 1 year.
Yes.
So,
now,
pizza and zombies.
If we were going to be there again, I'd want to watch the zombie walk from inside Cass's.
Yes.
So that way you could see everybody and be kind of up high so you could see all the costumes. So it's very cool. Any other pizza places you wanted to hit while we're talking about it? We should recap with the type of payments they take too.
Oh, right.
And portions and such.
And all that jazz.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other places.
Okay, let's start at the top. First, a police station pizza, also known as the original
Italian pizzeria.
Pizzeria downtown in Ambridge on Merchant Street. I do not know the address. I don't even know if we can find it. All you have to do is go to Ambridge, ask somebody where is this place, and anybody in the town will be able to tell you. Great price. Give it a 5 for portion size when you consider the price point. Definitely a 5 for quality. They take cash. I don't believe they take anything else.
I think it's a cash-only establishment.
I believe it's a cash-only establishment. And I'd also like to point out, it's one of the few places, unless you're ordering a tray, you can't order ahead of time. You can't call the order in. If it's less than a tray, you have to go down and order in person and wait your turn. Don't worry, you never wait too long. 15, 20 minutes tops, but it's worth it. If you go after a football game on a Friday night or on a Sunday after a Steeler game, you're going to wait longer. Next up, Monticello's. Again, that would be a 5. No, 4 for portion size.
If you wanted more, you could order more.
You could order more. I'd say it's a good 4. A regular person will be thoroughly stuffed. Aaron would probably get some appetizers.
Yeah.
Prices, great. Again, considering the price point, food quality's great. We give it a perfect 5 for tastiness. They take cash, they take debit, they take Visa. Don't know if they take checks or not. Well, they take Visa and MasterCard. Next up, Daily Needs. New Day Bakery.
New Day Bakery.
It's so hard to break myself of saying that.
But they actually take...
Debit.
Debit now. They never used to.
Yes.
So they're cash and debit. A little bit pricier.
Yes.
But definitely portions. Tasty, delicious food.
We hit a 3 on the Aaron scale of portions. That place, all these other places are a 1 on the adventure scale. They're pretty basic. It's pizza. Except New Day Bakery, I'd bump them up to about a 3.
Well, because they have those crazy, like, almost California-style things with goat's cheese and things like that.
Which are good.
Yes.
But you get it and not warn somebody ahead of time, hey, this is what I'm getting. They may not be as interested in it as you are. So, but they're really tasty, too. Next is Pizza L's.
Pizza L's is cash only.
I thought they took Visa, too.
Maybe they take credit as well.
I think they take Visa, because I remember paying with my check card once there.
Okay.
So they take cash and credit, which, you know, cash can't go wrong anywhere.
Exactly.
Portions, 5.
Ginormous.
For the price point, very, very big portions, very tasty, good New York-style pizza, probably the best in Morgantown. And then, last but not least, well, Jersey's gets an honorable mention for the carnivore pizza, the Boar's Head pizza.
Yeah.
Portion size, 3-ish. Considering how much it costs, but you're paying for the meat, and the meat's worth it.
Hmm.
And then last is Casa d'Amici, which is dirt cheap. They do specials every day, depending what you want. They do walk-in specials just to pick up one whole pizza. It's like $5 or $6 the last time we were there. Maybe it's up to $7 now, but it's still very affordable food.
I'd say it'd definitely be a 4 on the portion scale. Because
Aaron will get a side of garlic knots, but everybody else would be good with just the pizza.
Plus, the thing is, like, you'd be mostly full, but if you were super starving, then you could just get something little on the side and be stuffed to the gills.
No, of all these establishments we talked about, only one serves beer, which is the traditional beverage to have with pizza, and that is Monticello's.
Mm-hmm.
Every place else, they have soda that you can get for takeout or there if you're eating there. Actually, we should mention which ones are takeout and which ones aren't.
Right.
Police station, only takeout. Monticello's, eat-in, takeout, and I think they still do delivery. New Day Bakery, takeout only pickup. Jersey's is takeout and delivery. They don't believe they have a place to eat there.
Yeah, they do.
They have tables.
They have tables inside.
So they have tables, too. Pizza Owls, you can do takeout or delivery. Takeout or eat there. He does not have delivery. And then Casa d'Amici is takeout, eat there, and they have delivery as well. So it's a pretty good rundown. It's not a long episode, but we hit some of our favorite places, like the fallback, you know? I don't feel like cooking. It's 10 o'clock at night. What are we going to get? So.
And again, I'm not really talking about any Canadian chains or Canadian places here because it's mostly chains.
Mm-hmm.
We'll cover that in another episode.
Well, there are small places. They're just a little bit harder to find, too. There are 2 in Orillia that I know of off the top of my head. We just haven't been there yet for pizza because we're lazy, and we live literally down the alley and around the corner from 2-for-1. And since the 2-for-1 here is pretty tasty, we haven't gotten too adventurous for pizza.
Right.
But
it's one of those things, too, like where it seems like it's the opposite of it is in the States. In the States, you have more mom-and-pop pizza chains and less breakfast mom-and-pop places. Here, it seems like you have more mom-and-pop breakfast places, less for pizza.
Well, I know we have some homework, actually, sometime to do before we leave Aurelia, is to go to Theo's. Because I've heard a lot of good things at work about the pizza at Theo's. I'd like to check it out. And there's also that other place kind of up by, almost by the used bookstore, but a little further down the street.
Has a green sign?
Kind of, yeah. They have pizza. And there's the pizza and sub place across the street from Hills.
Right.
So there are local pizza places here. We've just been a little bit lazy because we're so excited by the downtown stuff. Like Filo Bistro and Tre Sorrel and some of those other places in Mariposa and Apple Annie's that we just haven't gotten to that yet. So.
Yep.
Anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. I think that's pretty much
That's pretty much it. Well, we hope you found it pizzalicious. This is part 1 of many, so stay tuned probably in another year or 2. That's part 3 or 4.
This is Sheila.
And this is Tracy.
And we are the 5 Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this 5 Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.